Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, and also the pastor of New Vision for Life Ministry. I want to say good morning to you all. It is a blessed day, and we thank God for another day in the Lord. Let me also say good morning specifically to my co-host. You know her very well, is my trustworthy, loyal, and confident partner here, co-host, my armor bearer, my daughter in the Lord, just a sweetheart from God and God alone. I want to say good morning to Minister Tamika Garnes. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, good morning, good morning, beautiful beloved. I am well. I am alive. I can see, I can walk, I can talk. So to God be the glory. Amen. Yes, he kept us throughout the night. And those are the things that we sometimes take for granted because we just know that when we wake up that all of those, we're going to have all of those functions. And we sometimes don't stop to just tell the Lord, thank you for those things. So, Father, thank you for those things. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 I know that there was a time, and I don't do it every day like I used to, but there was a time that my morning prayer was just what you did, you know, being grateful for the fact of what part of your body is still working. The fact that we woke up, first of all, is something to say thank you, Lord, for. And but then I would start at the head and go all the way down to my toes, giving God thanks for each individual part of my body that is functioning, you know, on that day, and thanking him. And those parts that weren't functioning, thanking him that it's another day that he has the opportunity to show himself, and those things could work, you know. So it is good. It is good to be grateful. I know there are people that are laying up right now, you know, that wish that they didn't wake up, and or say that certain parts of them is not working and they're very unhappy about it. But saints, the word is, it is the day that he's made. So let us rejoice and be happy in it. And that happiness, you know, what is it that makes you happy? What happy in the Lord is what we're dealing with. But be happy today. It's another good day. It's another day for you to get closer to the Lord. It's another day to develop relationship with him. It's another wonderful day. So with that being said, hallelujah, praise be unto God. Good morning to Tamika Shelton, praise be unto God. Y'all all know her as, again, another daughter in the Lord, praise God. Good morning to her, her mom and dad, Lester and Joyce Richardson, praise God. Good morning to Joyce in New York, Deacon Farr, Deacon Banks. Praise be unto God. Good morning to you. Good morning to Prophetess Kim. Bless your heart. Love you much. Good morning to Isaiah in Pennsylvania, and Isaiah in Chicago. God bless you. God bless you. Good morning to Denise from Pennsylvania. Good morning to Michelle. Praise the Lord. Good morning to any and all of the members of New Vision that joins us on Saturday morning. Praise God for you being here. Good morning to listeners that I don't know your names. Of course, I could never mention all of the names of the people that join us, but I do acknowledge those that are here, you know, on a regular basis, and know that I love you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your love. So good morning, good morning, good morning. Beloved, would you like to greet anyone? Thank you, darling.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to say good morning to everyone that has called in this morning. Thank you so much for joining us again on another Saturday. We are thankful and grateful that you guys, you know, you choose to be with us for an hour on Saturday. You give up an hour of your Saturday time. And again, we thank you. We just love the Lord and just thank him, you know, for just what he's doing in this season. We just thank him for you guys. We thank him for you all because, you know, we don't actually know what may be occurring in your life at this particular moment. But as we look at the switchboard, we see that you still decided, you know, whatever may be going on, if nothing, you still decided to join us on a Saturday. And I know for me, I don't know about for y'all, but for me, an apostle, you know, when we call each other, you know, when it's time to get up on Saturdays, you know, both of us, we getting up, okay.
To God be the glory.
It is worth it because we know people are being set free. We know people are learning stuff. We know people are just finding joy in this show. So it is definitely worth it. It is definitely worth it. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise be unto God. That was funny when she was talking about, you know, what we sound like to each other, you know, when we awaken each other up on Saturday morning. And of course, I have been tempted more times than a few to shift the time that we have our show, but I can't because we are used to, number one, this time of day for us. We're used to this. And then to make it any later than this would actually be cutting into the day. It would be cutting into the day. So the good morning, you know, the rise and shine, hey, you know, it's another day. We'll do the early morning like we've been doing. And afterwards, if we want to go back to bed, we can. Praise be unto God. If we, you know, want to go out, have breakfast, whatever the case may be, we can, you know. So it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord early in the morning. Jesus rose early in the morning to say good morning to Abba Father, you know. So we can do the same thing. We can do the same thing. And good morning to Anita. God bless you, woman of God. It's good to see you. Praise the Lord. Always, always good to see you. So I'm excited about the day. We're going to let Minister Tabika go ahead and pray us in. We're going to let her go ahead and pray us in, and then we will go ahead and tackle our topic for this morning. Go ahead, beloved. It's on you, dear.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you.
Glory to your marvelous name, oh God. Glory, glory, glory.
Yes,
there is none
Jesus
like you, Lord God. And we thank you for Jesus your love, your peace, your joy. We thank you for your heart. We thank you, Father God, for your healing because we are already healed. Now our mind has to connect to what you have already promised that you would do. You've already done it. It is already done, Father God. So I pray that we're able to connect to your promises. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There is none like you, Father God. There is no father like you. There is no provider like you. There is no confidant like you. There is no healer like you. There is no deliverer like you, Father God. There is no friend like you, Father. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, Lord. We just say thank you, Father. Thank you for everything, Father God. Thank you for the times, Father God, when we didn't understand what was going on, but you were right there and you were guiding us. And Father, we just give you praise because, oh, Jesus, a lot of times we don't know what it is that you're trying to do. And sometimes we just want to turn and go in the opposite direction because we're uncomfortable, because it doesn't feel right, because it's taking us like out of that comfort zone that we put ourselves in. But Father God, I thank you for the nudging. I thank you for the pushing. I thank you, Lord God, for the guiding. I thank you, Father God, that you lead us in the way that you want us to go. And so, Father, even now, I pray for those that still may be filled with fear. I ask, Father God, that you break that spirit of fear off of them now. God, I know that you can do it. It's no question that you can do it. We know that you can do it. And Father God, I just pray that we begin to connect to the things that you have told us that you did already. Hallelujah. We don't have to question those things. It is already done, Father God. But Lord, we ask that you help us break through the monotony, break through the things, the habits, Father God, the habits that we've created. Help us to break through those things, Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Help us to get our flesh under control and that we won't continue to live by our flesh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. And, Lord, I just thank you for every person that comes to listen to Heart, those that will stumble across it online, Lord God. I pray that you bless each and every person mightily in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you will begin to speak to those that are having a hard time, Father God. Speak to those that feel lost. Speak to those who feel like you are not with them, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Touch their hearts, Father God. Heal their heart, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. I pray, Father, that even now that they will begin to open their arms to you, Father God, to invite you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And allow you to dwell in their heart, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. I pray that we would learn to go into the secret place with you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And let us just lay before you, Lord God. Let us just cry out to you in the secret place, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm not talking about a physical place. Hallelujah. Right. I'm talking about that spiritual place in you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Whether we go in a bathroom, whether we're in our room, wherever we are, Lord God, we could be out in our cars, Lord God, wherever we are, God, I pray that we find the secret place in you, Father God, where there is peace, where there is joy, where there is happiness, where there is love, where there is healing, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord, that your word never returns unto you void, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we are on your mind, even when you're not on ours, Lord God. We are on your mind, Father God, and you make a way for us. You make provisions for us. You, Father God, open up doors that we could not open in the name of Jesus, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You cut off, Father God, things that we should not be connected to, Father God. You connect us to you, Father God, that you know would speak into our lives and encourage us and push us in the name of Jesus. So, God, however, Lord God, however you want to work in our lives, Father God, we are open to allow you to do that in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we move out of your way, Father God. We move out of your way so that you can have your way. We've done it our way long enough, and we have not accomplished anything because we cannot do anything without you, Father. And so we just say thank you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Father God, that you didn't leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Father God, that even in the midst of us being disobedient and rebellious, Lord God, that you are with us still. You are with us still, and you, Father God, are just waiting for us, Father God, to connect to you in a way that's not like a roller coaster, like up and down. One minute we're saying, oh, God, I believe, and the next minute we don't know. And so, Father God, I just thank you even now, Father God, that you're working, Lord God. You're working. Even through this show, Lord God, you are working, Father. And so, Lord, I just thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that your promises for the people that listen, the people that come on here every Saturday, Lord God, I pray that your promises, hallelujah, should come alive in them, Father God, should come alive in us, Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Let your will be done. Let us not, let us connect to your will and give up ours, because ours turns against us every time. And so, Father God, we say thank you, we love you, we honor you, we need you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. Well, thanks. Listen. I don't know about you, but I love to hear my daughter pray. I do. She invokes the presence of the Lord. She really does. The manifestation of his presence and his glory being on this line every single week, you know, as she prays and just causes the portals of heaven to be open above us. And so I do thank the Lord for her. Well, this morning, lately, and in fact, over the years, you know, we've done a lot of sessions in talking about marriage and relationships, those that are heading towards marriage, the responsibilities of a husband, the responsibilities of a wife, family life, blended families, and so forth. We've done a lot of discussions about these things over the years, and I don't remember, and I didn't go back and do my homework before today, how many, if any, discussions that we have had about being single, and it has been, brought to my attention. And I want to, for all of us, to dig in this, and let's talk about it. There are times in the church that this particular group, the singles, are a forgotten group. And I know there are large churches that have singles ministry. Not saying that that doesn't happen, but we also know that there are smaller churches, mid-sized churches, where the singles may be forgotten, or everything is geared towards the family, and because the singles don't have mates and may not have children, you'll have singles with children, which can join in on the family things. But a person is single may not feel as welcome or included in family events. And we want to address that this morning. We really want to talk about that. I know that on our show, I think, as I think about the people that I say good morning to, on our show, we have several single people that listen to Heart to Heart, that are regulars even on Heart to Heart. And I don't know if we've taken the time to address that matter. So that's what I want to do today. And for those of you that are on here that are single, I'm praying that you will be pressing one on your keypad today. Open up and join the conversation. And the reason being, you know, I know that y'all listen to me and Tamika a lot. You listen to us. But I want to hear from you because, remember, there are other people, other pastors and apostles and bishops and so forth that are listening, you know, to the show, that you may be saying something to them that they would say that they need to go back and redo some things in their church ministries, or, you know, need to address a group that hasn't been addressed, need to look at things in a different manner. And so we can only make changes as we acknowledge that there is a change that needs to be made. So I'm praying that today, the singles that are on here, that you will speak up. This is a safe place for you. Do not be afraid. Say what is on your heart. Why? Because this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Now, with that being said, I would say that in the church arena, like I said, we have the tendency sometimes to forget about this group, and the Bible itself does not omit speaking about singleness. It doesn't omit it. Some people may think that it is strictly, you know, for those that are married, and that's the Bible speaks of, and we want to tackle those things. We want to tackle those this morning. I want to talk even about, you know, what are the benefits of being single? Why does a single person, is it one's ultimate goal to be married? Is that, you know, for my singles, our singles that are on here, is that an ultimate goal for you to be married? If so, why? Are you happy in your singleness? You know, talk to us this morning about being single. One would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul said that it is good for a man not to marry. He said that he wished that they all could be single like him. And with throwing that verse out there, that he wishes that they would all be could be single like him, does anybody remember his reasoning? Does anyone remember the reason why Paul said such a thing? So here's where some of you need to be pressing one on it. Why did Paul say that, you know, we should be single, or that he wished that we all could? Does anybody have any idea about that? Okay. There we go. Good morning, beloved. How are you, sweetheart?
Good. How are you all?
Fine. Thank you. Fine.
Good.
Thank you.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah, I'm getting ready to jump out my car. So let me press one real quick. But pretty much because when we're as singles, as he said, you tend to the things of the Lord. Your
mm-hmm.
devotion is to him and him alone, whereas when you're married, you have to tend to the things of your spouse. So your,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say your attention is divided because it's not divided, but you have more than one central focus when you are married. You know, you have to take care of your spouse as well and have your time with the Lord. But if you're single, basically all of your time, when I say all, your devotion
mm-hmm.
time can be devoted to the Lord.
Absolutely, absolutely. That was the reference that he was making, you know, when he said that. That's where his heart was. But he's not putting conflict between married people and those that are not married. He's not putting conflict between them. It was a thing of, you know, when you're married, just like Prophetess Kim said, when you're married, you have the devotions to your husband or wife. You have, you know, the time that you spend with the Lord. And as life itself goes on, you can end up feeling like you can't do both of them equally as well, and yet we know that we can do both, because that's why so many folks are married and in the church and holding ministries and so forth. They're able to do both. We know that there are times that the ministry seems to take precedence over family life, and it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way where we neglect the family in order to do ministry, but we have to find a way of how to balance both of them, how to balance both of them. And so, you know, that's a place when Paul was saying that, like, can you really balance it out? Can we really do that? And so this is a place, like I said, that we find a struggle in the church. Let me pose the question. Let me ask Tabika, is there a question that you want to throw out at this moment, darling, to our audience? Is there something that you would like to say?
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I would like to ask is, you know, what are some of the challenges
mm-hmm.
that the singles find themselves facing when, you know, dating or looking for a mate?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, what are some of the challenges? All right, my beloved here. Good morning, precious heart. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fantabulous and blessed in the Lord. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. So it's definitely a topic for me.
Amen.
And I have so much to say, but I will definitely not take over the show. But I would say that initially, the challenge, of course, today is how to put myself out there how to put myself out there as a single person who is available and wanting to be partnered with someone. Dating overall to me is a challenge, especially in I think my age makes it more challenging than it would have been, and the fact that we're navigating COVID and the fact that we're in a space and time where we have a lot of people who feel like connecting by way of messaging and texting is a good way of getting to know one another.
Okay. So messaging and texting, you're saying that it's being said that this is a way to connect. How do we navigate dealing with the COVID thing, and yet we want to socialize more, want to get to know people so that we can do things. Do we really get to know people over the texting and messaging? Do you think that that's a good enough place for us to start?
So to me, it's very hard to get to know a person over texting and messaging.
Mm-hmm.
But we're definitely in a time where, you have a lot of folks who rely on messaging and texting as forms of communication. I would say overall what I'm saying the issues are is not knowing where to safely put myself out there to say, hey, yes, I am interested in a significant other or potential, or getting to know someone to see if we could potentially be a match. Not knowing where and how to do that, given all of the, given our current climate. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes. Yes. Yes, it
and
does.
Then,
yes,
and if
it
I,
does.
If I could add one other thing, it, when from a church perspective, I think I am getting to know the Bible more, but I have heard over and over again that it's not good for man to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
But when I talk to people who are married and who are in partnerships with other people, I think to try to make a single person like me feel better about the fact that I'm single, I hear all of the negatives about how I'm wanting something. I'm just wanting something that I don't have, and how things aren't always better on the other side, and all of those things. And I get it. I mean, but there is also something to be said about being in partnership.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. So, listen, what I'm hearing her say is that in the church, okay, in the church, instead of being married, being a very, and I'm putting the word very, a very positive thing, having great marriage role models and so forth, she's heard married people saying, you know, look, count your blessings that you are single. Count your blessings that you don't have to put up with having to consider someone else, that you don't have to, you know, do the things. They were trying to point out to her the benefits of being single instead of the blessings that are there in being married. And being married. And that is, to me, that is a sad place for us to be as a church. And I'm not talking about New Vision itself. I'm talking about the church body. The church is supposed to be a representation of the relationship between Christ and the body of Christ. And Christ, he's married to us. We the church, we are his bride. And that is supposed to be the best thing that could be happening to us. And marriage is supposed to represent this. And instead, I'm hearing that more and more the church folks are saying, girl, you better be happy that you don't have to put up with this, that, and the other, and so forth, that you're better off being single. Would somebody else want to chime in on the thought of that? Is that the same message that you're getting from the people that you socialize with, those that you know? Are you dealing with people that maybe instead of somebody telling you be happy that you're single, are you feeling pressured as a single person to get married? That you feel like an oddball because you're not married. So are people purposely, you know, flipping that coin and putting you on the other side of that? You know, one side is saying, be grateful that you're not married. The other side says, girl, you're 35 years old. You're 40 years old. How come you're not married? When are you going to have children? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So audience, talk to me. Tell me, what is it that is influencing your life as far as your singlehood and or looking for a marriage partner. Are you okay with being single right now? Are you okay with that? Remember, press 1 on your keypad and join in the conversation. Tamika, you can still go ahead and address those things until somebody else hits the button and say, hey, let me say something here. But have you found pressure? You know, you shared with us that you're hearing the negative side, but have you had any pressure about you should be married at this age?
Not pressure. I think no pressure for me. That's definitely not been my journey. I have definitely gotten all of the negative of and the fact that I should probably appreciate the fact that I'm single. And it isn't that I don't understand some of the positives of being single. I definitely get that. At the same time, I'm at a point in my life that's not the place that I want to stay. So, yeah, I've been single. I am single. Been single for a long time. I'm a successful person. I actually just a couple of weeks ago had a conversation with, I think it was three different couples. And basically, because I am a single person with my own business who is over 40, they were like, oh, yeah, you're going to really struggle with trying to find somebody because I'm successful. And I'm like, wow, or successful from their perspective because I own my own business and there's just absolutely no positives coming my way about how to potentially find a significant other. And then, so it's like, it's actually very disheartening. It's very disheartening to hear. And of course, a lot of the people who are married definitely are happy that they are not single at this space and time. So I definitely hear them say that too, like, oh, we are so glad that we're not having to be out there. So I'm like, man, it's like, well, huh. So who do I talk to get direction and advice and things of that nature? I'm not sure, but I do know that this is not necessarily the space that I want to stay in, and I'm not sure how to put myself in a position to chat with single men in a safe way. In a way that we can actually build productive friendships and see if that is something that do we connect or don't we connect. It's a very interesting position to be in. And like I said, I have not heard very supportive things, only things that I should really appreciate what I have. And so I feel bad for wanting to be in a relationship, but I do want to be in a relationship. So
amen. Amen. Okay. All righty. We have another caller that wishes to chime in. Caller, your last four digits are 1166. Good morning, beloved. How are you? Good morning, Apostle Banks and her beautiful audience. I am great. I wanted to encourage my sister, if she could write down these scriptures, and it's about marriage, and it's Genesis 2:18-24 and Proverbs 18-22. And I wanted to give her also two examples. I have a person that I know ran into her elementary and middle school classmate, and these people were grown, and she wasn't thinking about marriage, and they are engaged, and they haven't seen each other in years. They caught up, and they were friends, and they began to court, and he just asked to marry her. And then another couple I know that's getting married, they were first girlfriend and boyfriend. One thing about God that he can know, he knows exactly who he wants her to marry, and the Holy Spirit see all, know all, and will bring who God wants in her life. Now, the second couple I talked about that was first girlfriend, first boyfriend, they, everybody prayed, I'll say that. And if you pray and you say, you know what, God, if it's your will for me to be married, I'm going to believe you will bring who you desire for me to marry in my pathway, and he will be everything that you want me to be. So I say that to encourage you. I've heard the stories that she shared from the church, from married people, but then I had to look at God is the person that made marriage. And I say this to encourage you that if God wants you to be married and you go to God in prayer and you present that to him and say, Lord, I would like to be married. If that's your will for me, will you bring who you desire for me to marry in my pathway? That he would be everything that your word promised and say a husband is supposed to be, and I want to be everything a wife is supposed to be. So I say that to encourage you, especially from the testimonies that I've recently got this year from people who presented that part of their life to God, and then one who wasn't even thinking about marriage and just ran into someone they went to school with. And the male had a crush on her since elementary school. So I just say that to encourage her.
Amen, amen. Thank you so very much for your input this morning. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Our next caller, your number is 9087. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, beloved. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you, precious heart. I am fine. How about yourself?
Good. I'm doing excellent. So I'm going to piggyback on, I think her name is Tamika.
Yes.
Is that the young lady that was speaking about? Okay. So I'm grateful that I never had that experience. And I'm not saying it's because I'm at New Vision or whatever the case may be. But the young men and women of God who are married couples at our church are a very good example. They might be mad at their spouse, but you never see any type of confrontation. They are always, I don't want to say best behavior, but they always put before us of how it should be. Not saying that they've never said that they have trouble in their marriage, because you're always going to have something occurring, whether it's in your marriage or in a relationship because you're courting. But they always, to me in my eyes, it's like, that's what I want. Not necessarily saying the relationship that they have, but I want something similar to that because I've been married before. I don't know if it's because he was Catholic and I was a Christian. I don't know if that's why it didn't work out or whatever the case may be. But I get excited when I see my young ministers who are married and ones who are older who are married, because it gives me hope. Because it's like one day God is going to bless me with that. You know, I might have missed it the first time, but I know when God blessed me again, it's going to be right. Not because I picked, but because God picked. So I just want to say kudos to the ministers who are married at our church for setting an example of how it can be. And like I say, they've never said, oh, we don't have issues. Oh, we don't have problems. We don't do. They've never, ever said that. And I've talked to some of the female ministers just about relationships or whatever the case may be. And they never put it out there like, oh, they got it totally going on that, you know, girl, yeah, you should be married because it's this, that, or no, you shouldn't be married. They show me both ways. You know, and that's what I like about them. They're transparent.
All right, let me ask you this. One of the things that Tamika made a point of is, how do I navigate putting myself out there in the season that we're walking in? How do I put myself out there so that people will know that I am available and without it looking, now she didn't say these words, I'm adding this right now, I'm paraphrasing, without it looking like, you know, that she's desperate, she's running behind somebody, trying to have a relationship, just on the whole, for single people, period, that now that, you know, COVID has let up a little bit, you know, and we know that this is not the end, there are many other things that are coming along that has to come along for us as far as making major changes in the world. But how do you make yourself, what ways do you navigate trying to establish relationships? What do you do? Where do you go? What do you do as a single person? And y'all tell me, because see, I know we're speaking to singles, and the ones that we're talking to right now are younger than me, but I'm almost 70 years old. I am single. I'm not married. I am single. So, you know, this is something that older women have to look at as well, the desire to be with a mate. There are callers on this line that are single with children, been married, got divorced, they're now there with children, and their plight is different from Tamika's plight, you know, and so forth. But how do you, as a single woman, you know, how do you, what do you do? How do you connect with people?
Well, with me, I go on different dating apps. And when I feel as though it's not going the way I want with that particular person, I just block them off my page and just wait to see what happens with the next one. I've just come to the decision that sometimes you have to put yourself out there, but just be cautious in what it is that you're doing. Because I had a gentleman that pretended to be someone who he really wasn't, but I figured it out. And then when I confronted him, he got upset and blocked me, which I really didn't care. But I thank God that God gave me the discernment to realize that he was catfishing. So you just have to be careful and just feel your way. He never had my phone number. We communicated through the app. And he was like, well, here's my phone number. Call me. No, I'm not calling you. We're going to continue to go through this messaging back and forth through what you call me until I feel comfortable, until God tells me it's okay to give you my number. So I mean, it all depends on the situation, but,
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your input, beloved. Thank you so much for your input. Amen. Listen, I'm sorry. You know, I've done all the talking here and asking the questions. And to Tamika, is there something that you would like to say? Let me say this. Wait a minute before I let you say something. If there are any men on here, I really want to hear, you know, from a man's perspective, because when we speak of singlehood, when we speak of being single, you will find out that, you know, most of the time it's the women that are saying, hey, you know, I'm single. I would like to hook up, you know, and so forth and so on. And we don't hear, we don't hear much from the men what their perspective is on this thing of being single and being a single male, being a single Christian male, being a male that's, you know, been married, had children, whatever the case may be. What are the challenges that you as a man face in singleness? So remember again, saints, that this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And so I'm praying that, you know, that one of our men will chime in and speak to us from the male's point of view. We want to hear this all the way around. We want to hear this all the way around. Tamika, my Tamikas and Deekas. Tamika, is there something that you would like to add to the conversation, beloved?
Yes. I would just want to say, just to make sure that you are talking to the right people about wanting to be married, because sometimes people will speak out of their own frustration in their marriage, and it could it could cause somebody that really wants to be married to have second thoughts about it because of what a married couple said. So I would say just to be careful who you're talking to, because even in some Christian marriages, you'll hear people say, you know, negative stuff about marriage, and they're only speaking from whatever's going on in their marriage. And so we do have to remember that sometimes we do marry people that God did not tell us to marry. And so you, even in finding a mate, you have to make sure that God has sent this person. A lot of times we when we're looking for a mate, we sometimes base things off of flesh. And but it's not, that particular person was not who God wanted you to be with. And so it's very important that when God shows you things about a person that's negative or not good or whatever, make sure you pay attention. I know back when I was dating, I would ask God, you know, if this person is not for me, show me. And, y'all, he would show me, and I would act like I ain't see it, and I would just continue to date the person. And then be mad because the person hurt me. Okay, well, duh. I asked God. I asked him, and he showed me, and I act like I didn't see it. Because why? I was so into the person at that point that it was like, oh, well, maybe the person will change. No.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I got my feelings hurt, it was like, well, who could I be mad at? I couldn't be mad at God. I could only be mad at myself because I continued to choose to, you know, be with this person. And so I just want to encourage you all that are dating, just to keep God, you know, in it. Keep God in it, because God is your eyes and your ears. Because remember, he knows stuff about people that we don't know. You know, he sees things about people that we can't see. And this day and time, people are really slick. You know, people are really manipulative. And so you have to have God with you when you're trying to date and meet new people, because people have the level of evil that has grown, and people are just, you know, agreeing with it. And I just want to say, just be careful. Be careful also when meeting people. Lady Bridget talked about, you know, the dating website. At one point before I, you know, when I was dating and I, you know, before I met Mark, I was on a dating website. And I would talk to, you know, the different men on the website, but I always felt weird when it came to that, because I didn't really know who these guys were. I didn't know if that was the person that I was talking to on the picture. And in the back of my mind, it was like I don't know if this guy's a serial killer, you know, acting like somebody else on his dating app. And, I mean, that could be the same thing when you meet somebody, you know, on the street or in the mall or wherever. It, you know, it could be the same thing. But for me, I was uncomfortable with it. And so I shut that down. I was told, I don't know what it was. I was just uncomfortable with it. And that's me. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not trying to make anybody feel any type of way that use the dating app or online. I'm just talking about for me. It made me feel uncomfortable. So, and at that moment in my life, I wasn't thinking about God. I wasn't, you know, it wasn't nothing about keeping God in the midst of my dating, nothing. So I'm just telling you all, you know, from a person that has made those mistakes, to just make sure God is with you when you are dating, when you are looking for a mate. Make sure that when he shows you stuff, please pay attention. Please pay attention. And, yes, there are some cases where, you know, you may be dating a person and it's little things that you see that it's little things. It could be little pet peeves for a person. It depends on if it goes against the word of God. But if it's little pet peeves that you know that's your issue, but this person could clearly be for you, then let, you know, follow God. Amen. Apostle.
Amen. Yes, yes, amen. Thank you so very much. Prophetess Kim, I see your hand is raised. Yes, beloved, what
yes.
is it you want to say?
And, you know, I'm kind of chiming in to some of the things she just said. We do have to be mindful of who we listen to as far as getting advice from married couples who are angry or dealing with certain things. But, and I missed some of what was going on because I was in a noisy place, but I think when it comes to marriage, and I am a person who is been married and now single, but we have to understand that marriage is for kingdom purposes. So as Tabika was saying, we must seek God because it's spiritual first. Ruth, when she was believing for her Boaz, she was busy doing the work of the Lord. So if we delight ourselves in God, if we are being about our Father's business and asking the Lord to prepare us for what he has for us, because the word says none shall lack their mate, that God will command it and draw by his spirit. So as we pray, we say, God, you said this in your word, because God is intentional. So as she was saying, we can't be with just anybody, because God connects us with mates for kingdom assignments when it's a God connection. And even during the pandemic, I was listening to the lady who was speaking earlier, even in the pandemic may have caught us by surprise, but it didn't catch God by surprise. God can have you run into your spouse in the grocery store. You can run into your spouse walking your dog. You can run into your spouse on Facebook, on a dating app, whatever means God wants to use. But like Minister Tabika was saying, we have to be prayerful. We have to remain discerning. And most importantly, we have to let God draw and lead and guide us so that we don't, because these marriages are about destiny. It's about kingdom purposes. It's not just, you know, because, oh, we get along, or because the person can be in church, they can be saved and love the Lord, but that does not mean they are the one for you. So that's why we have to be intentional in seeking God about our mate, and God knows the desires of our heart. So, you know, but as we find, because what did it say, the man who finds a wife finds it's a good thing. So he has to find us in Christ. So if we are doing what God called us to do in him, and the man is seeking God intentionally as well, then the two, there will be a divine collision. I'm going to call it a collision. There will be a divine encounter with this person. And that doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean, you know, there are times where you're like, oh, God, I wish I was married, da-da-da. But in Christ, we have to be content. When we're married, content. When we're single, be content until God send that one. And I always had a choir director who always said that it's better to be single and be praying that you are married than to be married and wish you weren't because you got with the wrong person. So it's very important that we are with a kingdom connection, the one God sent.
and not just, you know, somebody who makes us smile, make us laugh, whatever the case may be. No, this has to be a kingdom assignment because marriage is work. And that's not negative, that's the truth. Marriage is work. Mm-hmm. So you have to be with the one God ordained. And I'll leave it at that. And I you know, and that's my declaration. God, you said two is better than one, for they shall receive
right.
a good reward for their labor. So God, I declare that I'm going to receive a good reward for my labor. I need my plus one. I'm missing the other half. I miss not, and I don't mean better half. I'm missing the other one.
Right.
And so we
right.
have to just pray, and we have to believe God and continue to be about his work in the meantime. And it doesn't mean it's easy, but we have to do what we have to do. And if you have to go on the fast because of your flesh, you go on the fast, you do what you got to do.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank
amen.
You so very much, Prophet. Thank you so very much. Tamika, I see your hand raised. I don't know if it was from before or, you know, that you wanted to chime back in, but
I raised it again. I wasn't sure
good.
If you had any men who were going to chime in, but I was going to tell you some of the things that I've heard from single men really quickly. I have, since COVID, gotten on to a couple of the dating apps, and those are the that's where you're messaging people. More
okay.
than unless you decide to actually share phone numbers or share contact information. Some of the guys that I have, when I see their profile, what they say on their profile, I have asked, like, whoa, what in the world kind of women have you been encountering? Because the guys have, like, a litany of disclaimers, like, if you're not interested, if you need a therapist, I'm not the one to talk to. If you're not willing to share your contact information and you're only wanting to text message, then please bypass me. If you're not willing to have a conversation, if you're trying to get married tomorrow and I haven't met you yet, bypass. So it seems like, yeah, it has made me chuckle too, because I'm like, man, how are we being represented on these apps? Because it sounds like the women are coming across in a way that the men are like, whoa, I don't know what's going on. So I just wanted to at least put it out there that there have been a few men that I actually have just reached out to, because I'm like, I need to understand what shouldn't we be doing and what
right.
we should be doing. I would say that I'm definitely not coming across in the manner that they've mentioned, but I have also asked a male friend of mine, like, what do you see that I need to do differently? And what I find is that in an effort to not hurt my feelings, I might not get the answers that that I'm looking for. And truly, here's the thing about me, and you know I'm very transparent. Like, I can't fix something that I don't know.
Right.
And if there isn't anything for me to fix, that's fine. What I do know is that the guy isn't going to come knocking on my front door. So my situation in that I work from home and have worked from home for years makes it so that because I run my own business, I used to work too much. I knew that my circumstances weren't such that I could potentially, you know, attract a male. But I guess if they could find us in the grocery store or the gas station, all of those things, that's fine. But I have sought out information just so that I could understand, is there something that I need to be doing differently? I think men have to be willing to say, but I also mm-hmm. know that we as women have to be open to receiving some guidance from those that we're seeking to be in partnership with. So that's it.
Thank you. Thank you so very much, and that is so important. You were right that when you ask a man that you know, they may be a little apprehensive because they don't want to hurt our feelings in telling us, you know, something that could offend us. But we need to know. But this is also a good place for a conversation, you know, instead of it being someone you know, is maybe we can at some point in time and on this show even, you know, I can have it where I can have some men come on and they tell us in general, you know, not to you in particular because they don't know you, but, you know, tell us from a male's point of view. See ladies, this is part of the reason why I tell you to listen to Deacon Farr's show, listen to his show. Now, most of the men, of course, on his show are married men, but still, from a male's point of view, that's single, you tell us what it is that would make us a more attractive What's the word I'm missing here? That would make us a person that you would want to talk to. Or tell us what it is, you know, because men, like you said, are on the website, the dating sites, and saying, hey, if you do this, you do that, you do, leave me alone. Don't even stop here. Don't even stop here. What things is it that our Christian brothers can tell us about, you know, help us out as sisters that want to have relationships. And listen, beloved, listen to all of you, because we have gone past our time. We're going to have to pick this up again maybe next week. Not every single woman, wants to be married. But yet would like to have the companionship, you know, friendship that, you know, to do things with and so forth and so on. So every man that meets a single woman doesn't have to be afraid that woman is immediately there just to snatch him up, you know, for marriage. There are, you know, we spoke about healthy relationships. Between, you know, you and the opposite sex. That is definitely a possibility. I really do want to hear, you know, the male side of this coin. And Tamika, I thank you, you know, for putting that part out there. I know I have a male friend that I've been speaking to for, I think we said it was 15 years. So someone that I met online 15 years ago. We have never met face to face, and we are speaking to each other 15 years later with absolutely no intentions of it being a boyfriend girlfriend relationship. We are friends. You know, in 15 years, you know, I've heard the stories about his children, you know, growing up and so forth. I've shared with him about my grandchildren and so forth. You know, we know each other pretty well. But we are not two people that God had put together for a relationship. I truly, truly believe with and agree with Prophetess Kim that marriage is a kingdom assignment. It is for kingdom purposes because of the fact that marriage represents the relationship between Christ and the church. When two people are coming together for marriage, is how is this marriage going to bless the kingdom of God? How is it going to represent the relationship between Christ and church? Is this man, does he fit into the calling that is on my life? And do I fit into the calling that is on his life? Can we come together and bring that together and complete a kingdom assignment? Too many of us end up getting married, you know, because he makes me feel real good. She looks real good. She can cook. And for those who end up having sex before marriage, the sex is real good. You know, so we end up getting married for those purposes instead of for what God really designed it for. You know, he didn't bring Eve to Adam, you know, just for him to have a good sex partner. He didn't bring Eve to Adam just so he wouldn't be alone and lonely. Those things were covered in the union, but that wasn't the purpose. She was there to be the helpmeet, you know, to help him. He had a mandate on his life. He was given dominion over the earth. He had to name the animals and do all of this stuff and blase, blase. And he needed help. He was lonely, but he needed help as well. So the two of them came together. And so when we are looking for a mate, you know, yes, in the natural, a good man, like, okay, like the friend that I told you that I have for 15 years, we have not met face-to-face. In the natural, he fulfills, you know, the loneliness, somebody to talk to and so forth and so on. But he cannot fulfill and cannot or has not fulfilled the point of this is a kingdom assignment. This is a kingdom assignment that's not there. And yet he's a friend. I love him dearly. But I know that that's not my mate. I know that's not my mate. So we have to be very mindful, very careful, because there is a purpose. We were all designed with purpose, beloved, all of us designed with purpose in mind. And God has the best for us. And yes, we need to be patient. We need to seek the Lord on any and every single thing that we're doing. We need to seek the Lord on it. And I do know that I feel, Tamika, and that's why I don't want this to shut down. I want us to carry this on until next week, because we still are tackling how do I meet these people? How do I position myself? And asking, like she said, her male friends, tell me, you see me, you're a man, I'm a woman, you know me, tell me what it is that's undesirable about me, and tell me what my good points are, you know, and so forth. And there's nothing wrong with us asking. There's nothing wrong with us asking those type of questions, as long as we're open to hear them, to receive them, and praying and asking God, you know, to make us who he wants us to be. He knows the person that we should be hooked up to. He knows what their needs are, what their desires are. He knows what ours is, and he knows how to make a good match. He knows how to make a good match. He knows way before we know anything. God knows it all. Okay. Bridget, I see your hand up. I don't know whether that was from before or whether it was something that you wanted to say now before we end our show. I'm excited that y'all are talking about this, and we will pick this up next week. So I hope you're coming back with some information, some research. How do we help one another? How do we help one another? How do we get to the heart of the matter? okay for me to be single? Is it okay for me to be single and not want to be married? Is it okay for me to be single wanting to be married? How do I present myself? You know, all these good things. Like I said, we had all of these things about how to be, you know, a good husband, how to be a good wife and so forth. Help me in my singleness, how to be single and a Christian. I mean, and see, and that's the thing with me, and with me being a Christian. And I heard Prophetess Kim, you know, the two work well together. And she's looking and wanting and being available for that other one to come, where the two can become one. And as a Christian woman, and one in ministry and so forth and so on, the man in my life must just absolutely, it's a necessity that this man is walking with the Lord, and that we can come to an agreement on our spiritual connection one with the other. And the last thing I'm going to say, and Bridget can answer my question, the last thing that I want to say is, don't think, in fact, I think Kim said it already, don't think just because the man is in church, born again, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, tongue speaking, fire baptized, this, that, and the other, and so forth, just because he is, that doesn't mean that is your mate. Every Christian man is not your mate, you know, so don't think just because he's there that means he is the one. Don't think, I heard Bridget mention catfishing, don't think you don't have wolves in sheep's clothing sitting in the church. I know somebody that told me, and I think I shared this with somebody that I'm close with, that I know several men that get together and they go to every women's conference that there is that they can get to. They travel to every women's conference that they can get to because these men go knowing that they are hurt, wounded women. T.D. Jakes, Woman Thou Art Loose, you know, women that are crying out to God, I want a mate, I'm tired of being alone, and so forth and so on. And these men go there with the purpose of getting one of these women, and they're only getting them for the weekend that they're away. They know that these women are hurting. And unfortunately, a lot of us in our hurt and in the woundedness, we settle for some man saying the right thing to us, some man making us feel good at that moment, and, you know, some man that could make a promise to us and so forth and so on, and we end up falling in bed with the man. And this is what my brothers are telling me. They go and they know that it's easy picking, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. My spirit cries about it, that my sisters, we are so hurt, so wounded, so lonely, so needing and desiring that other half, that we have become an easy mark. We are prey for the predator who comes seeking to devour us, and it's there. So, sisters, I do want you to be aware that happens. And I'm getting this from my brothers. And when I say my brothers, I'm not talking about my blood brothers. I'm talking about God brothers, okay? These are men that claim to be saved. And this is what they do. This is what they do. So much talk to be put back on the table. So, Bridget, was there something you want to say before I close us out, beloved? Okay, her hand may have been up there from before. All righty. We will touch back on this again next week. If you want to, we can touch back on this next week. I do appreciate all of you that have chimed in and shared and been open and transparent. I do appreciate you being here with us. please come back next week. Get some other friends of yours. Let's have a good conversation about this. Remember always, saints of God, that this is Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes here with you today on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. God bless you. I love you. And have an awesome weekend in the Lord. God bless you, beloved.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.